Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Manappuram Finance Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Good evening, everyone. I'm Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal, and it is our pleasure to welcome you all to this earnings call. Thank you very much for joining us for Manappuram Finance earnings call to discuss the Q1 FY27 earnings. To discuss the company's earnings, I am pleased to welcome Mr. V.P. Nandakumar, Chairman and MD, Dr. Sumitha Nandan, Executive Director, Mr. Bhuvanesh Tharashankar, Group CFO and CFO, Mr. Manoj Pasangha, Co-CEO Asirvad Microfinance, Dr. Roy Vaghese, Co-CEO Asirvad Microfinance, Mr. Ramandeep Singh, CFO Asirvad Microfinance, Mr. Kamal Parmar, Head Vehicle and Equipment Finance, Mr. Rakesh Sharma, Co-CEO Manappuram Home Finance, Mr. Suveen P.S., Co-CEO Manappuram Home Finance, and Mr. Robin Karuvely, CFO Manappuram Home Finance. On behalf of Motilal Oswal, we thank the senior management and the investor relations team of Manappuram Finance for giving us this opportunity to host you today. I now invite Mr. Nandakumar for his opening remarks. With that, over to you, sir.
Thank you. So good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Manappuram Finance Q1 FY27 analyst and investor call. It's a pleasure to connect with all of you once again as we discuss our performance for the first quarter of FY27 and share our perspective on the opportunities and priorities shaping the year ahead. Operating environment: the first quarter of FY27 witnessed a resilient operating environment for the Indian economy despite persistent geopolitical uncertainties and volatility in global commodity markets. India's macroeconomic fundamentals remain strong, supported by healthy domestic consumption, improving rural demand, sustained infrastructure spending, and a stable financial system. Credit demand across the banking and the NBFC sectors continued to remain healthy, while asset quality across secured lending portfolios remained resilient. Consolidated financial performance overview: our performance during the quarter reflects the inherent strength of our diversified business model and the resilience of our core gold loan franchise. Consolidated AUM for Q1 FY27 was at 69,635 crores, up by 9% Q1Q and up by 57% YoY. Consolidated gold loan AUM for Q1 FY27 was at 57,006 crores, which is 82% of our consolidated AUM versus 80% for Q4 FY26. Consolidated revenue from operations for the quarter stood at 3,033 crores, up by 16% Q1Q and up by 34% year-on-year. Profit after tax stood at 585 crores, up by 45% Q1Q and up by 347%. Coming to gold loan business, the gold loan business continue to be our primary growth engine. At the same time, we maintain our disciplined approach towards risk management across all businesses with asset quality, liquidity, and capital preservation continue to remain key priorities. With over four decades of experience in secured lending, Manappuram Finance has built one of the country's most trusted gold loan franchise. Standalone gold loan AUM for Q1 FY 2027 was at 54,655 crore, up by 12% quarter-on-quarter and up by 97% year-on-year. As guided earlier quarter, our gold loan yield has improved by 59 bps during the quarter. Coming to microfinance business. For microfinance business, under Aashirvad, continues to operate in a calibrated manner. As microfinance companies have witnessed industry-wide stress over the few years. However, the strategic measures implemented over the last several quarters are beginning to deliver encouraging outcomes. Our balance sheet remains robust, supported by healthy capital adequacy, a diversified funding sources, and comfortable liquidity buffers. This provides us with flexibility to pursue growth opportunities while maintaining financial resilience in an evolving operating environment. Aashirvad AUM stands at 7,188 crore, up by 5.8% Q1Q and up by 7.2% year-on-year. Aashirvad has reported a PAT of 21 crores in this quarter, up by 58% Q1Q and up by 108% year-on-year. Coming to housing and MSME lending business. Our housing finance and MSME lending business continue to focus on profitable growth while maintaining strong credit discipline. Rather than pursuing rapid balance sheet expansion, we remain committed to building sustainable businesses that generate healthy risk-adjusted returns over the long term. Coming to priorities for Manappuram, it is remaining unchanged. We continue to strengthen our senior leadership team. Mr. Ashish Singh has been appointed as the MD and CEO and expected to join by January 1st of 2027. He is a seasoned banker with over 25 years of experience in the retail banking space, and his latest experience at the IDFC First Bank as head of retail abilities, and previously as leading Bharat banking business. Going forward, we continue to maintain our leadership in the gold loan business through customer-centric innovation, digital capability, and operational excellence. Simultaneously, we will focus on improving the performance of diversified businesses through disciplined underwriting, stronger portfolio quality, and sustainable profitability. Technology, governance, and operational efficiency continue to remain important pillars of our strategy as we build a more agile and future-ready organization. While the operating environment will continue to evolve, we believe that institutions with strong governance, a disciplined execution, trusted brands, and prudent risk management will emerge stronger over the long term. With our resilient business model, robust capital position, and diversified financial services platform, we are well positioned to capitalize on the significant opportunities ahead. With that, I now hand over the call to our President and Group CFO, Mr. Bhuvanesh Parashankar, who will take you through the detailed financial and operational performance for the quarter. We'll then be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nandakumar. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for a discussion on our financial results for the first quarter ended June 30th, 2026. In Q1 FY27, performance was driven by a strategic focus on gold loan growth, improved gold loan yields through a greater emphasis on non-gold loan collections and strengthened asset quality. Our consolidated AUM for Q1 FY27 was at 69,635 crores, up by 9% sequentially and 57% year-on-year. Gold loan continued to be our key growth driver with an AUM of 57,006 crores, up by almost 12% quarter-on-quarter and by about 98% year-on-year, supported by strong customer demand. Gold loan business constitutes 82% of the consolidated AUM versus 80% in the prior quarter and 65% a year ago. Consolidated profits after tax before OCI and minority interest was 585 crores for Q1 FY27, which sequentially was up 44.5%. Coming to the standalone business, our standalone AUM for Q1 FY27 was at 60,971 crores, up by 9% sequentially and 70.8% year-on-year. Gold loan AUM in standalone business was 54,655 crores, up 12% quarter-on-quarter and 97.4% year-on-year. It constitutes 90% of our standalone AUM versus 87% in the prior quarter and 77% a year ago. Standalone PAT before OCI was 552 crores, up 47% sequentially and 41% year-on-year. Standalone GNPA was at 1.56% versus 1.8% in prior quarter, and credit cost in standalone entity for the quarter was 1%. The standalone borrowing cost has gone up by about 10 bps in the first quarter of FY27. Coming to the gold loan business, during the quarter, we were able to add about 3.2 lakh new customers, and outstanding number of customers was 26.5 lakhs. Our average gold loan LTV was at 65.6% in Q1 FY27. Online gold loan book accounts for about 86% of the total gold loan book. Coming to microfinance business, Ashirwad AUM stands at 7,188 crores, which includes gold loan AUM of 2,344 crores. Overall, the growth was 5.8% quarter on quarter and 7.2% year on year. PAT before OCI was 21 crores in Q1 FY27 versus 13 crores in the prior quarter. And in Q1 FY26, we had a loss of 269 crores. So essentially a swing of 290 crores year on year. Net NPA stands at 1.4% and Ashirwad CRAR as of quarter end was at 31%. Coming to vehicle finance business, in the vehicle finance business, we have reported an AUM of 2,562 crores, down 14.3% quarter on quarter and 43% year-on-year. focus is now on collections, as GNPA continues to be elevated at 13.3% versus 10.4% in prior quarter. Loans to MSME and allied was at 3,303 crores, with a disbursement of 191 crores, and GNPA was at 5.9% versus 7.1% in the prior quarter. Home loan business had a total book of 1,847 crores, flat QOQ, and down by about 3% year-on-year. The board has declared an interim dividend of 1 rupee for this quarter. Our capital position is strong, and company is well capitalized with a capital adequacy ratio of 21.29%. The company's consolidated net worth stands at 16,552 crores as of June 30th, 2026, and book value per share stood at 176 rupees and 20 paise. We can go now for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Shripal Doshi with Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. So my question was firstly on the recent implementation of RBI's new framework on the LTV side. So what all changes have we made in terms of product tenure? And have we launched income generating products as well during the quarter? If yes, what could you please give us some, could you please throw some light in terms of the interest rate as well as tenure and the underwriting practice that we have in that category? Thank you.
On the recent RBI circular guideline issued from 1st April onwards, we implemented in the reference period by considering the interest also for while calculating that. There is a major change happened, and also the ticket size rate also came in the picture, like up to 2.5 lakh, 2.5 to 5 lakh and above 5 lakh. That is implemented from 1st onwards. And according to the new circular and guideline, and are they given some options for some various different kind of product offering options also given. According to the customer requirement and request and all, some of the products like monthly EMI, monthly interest payment or monthly EMI scheme category products also we launched as a part of that. There are some acceptance from the customer also, earlier also requested, sir. Now we got that option. So these are all the changes done, and some of the customer segment like business class customer or business segment is there. Those who are regularly getting income on the their business and related operations. In that also a small segment of income generating loan also started after this April.
So, sir, how is this income-generating loan different from the vanilla gold loan that we were doing, consumer gold loan that we were doing, except for the bullet repayment part? So, is there any other difference, apart from, having the option of bullet repayment in consumer loan versus income in the income-generating loan, we have the EMI option. Apart from these two, is there any other difference?
So, the income-generating asset, the income-generating gold loan, is given based on the cash losses, the cash flow. So we have the format for assessing the cash flow, etc. So whether it is the EMI product or quarterly EAA product, interest installment, is based on the cash flow. The LTV is also based on that. If it is an equated monthly installment, the LTV is higher. And this gives us an option. Yes, if it is overdue, here we can send the due notices and the recovery process can start as specified by the regulator. You had a question on the interest rate. Yes, the interest rate on this scheme ranges from 14% to 16%.
14% to 16%. Okay. Got it, sir. And sir, when you say income evaluation or cash evaluation is must when you're doing income generating loan, so we have created bandwidth there in terms of hiring staff over the last 3-6 months, or how is it?
So we have hired staff, and also we have the, our own people in the cash flow based products like MSME and vehicle loan, etc. Who have the capacity or the knowledge of processing the cash flow of the customer, etc., intending borrower, etc. So, and the sufficient training has been given, so at various levels. We started this training much before implementation. We started this training at least 3 months prior to the implementation on April 1st. So these schemes are, these income generating schemes were implemented subsequently only. So we had the time to train our staff for 6 months. They are adequately trained now.
Got it, sir. Just one follow-up there. But in the first product, we sell our limited of the 12 product, right?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Sripal, could you please repeat your question? You were not audible.
Yeah. So my question was that even in the income generating loan, we follow the similar LTV norms as we follow in the consumer loans, right?
No. Income generating loan based on the cash flow, we go up to 85% if it is monthly EMI, 85%, and if it is quarterly, the servicing scheme lesser to that. The LTV is higher, but at the same time, I can tell you the overall average LTV remains at 64%. Even at the, now it has, this is the last week's price. Now, the average LTV would have come down further because the price has gone up during the last 1 week.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions. Good luck.
The next question comes from the line of Rajiv Mehta with Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Congratulations on good numbers. Sir, firstly, I want to understand this movement of 60 basis points improvement in the portfolio yield. What drove this? Is it the new products which you introduced under the new regulations? Since your portfolio tenure is generally short, is that helping you in maintaining now the yield at a much better level than the earlier products? Or has there been any underlying shift in the customer segment mix, meaning that more high ticket customers, or has there been any change in the customer mix as well? So if you can just answer, and whether are we able to maintain the same yield in July, August as well with the same momentum of business?
Hi, this is Bhuvnesh here. So the yield movement is largely, last quarter I think I alluded to the point that, we had overcorrected in terms of, the pricing that we had. And we were taking some pricing actions to ensure that, we are able to enhance the yield. So in Q1, essentially we had taken some pricing actions, which are beginning to kind of yield results to us, which is what you see in the Q1 numbers. And we see similar trends, you know, going forward as well. From a pricing perspective, we will probably be in this broad band, you know, around the 18% handle. And basically, that's where we will be. So it's not on account of any shift in terms of, you know, a dispersal mix or any segmentation mix. It's basically a set of actions that we have taken from a pricing perspective to be in line with, you know, our peer group. And we continue to monitor that pretty closely.
And with this, you know, holding on to the yield of around 18-odd%, have we seen the velocity of business in terms of tonnage growth, customer growth, continuing in July and August as well?
So Q1, you know, if you look at, you know, the growth in 1 year back, I think it was, you know, from a tonnage perspective and a customer perspective, it was a bit weak. In fact, on the tonnage side, I think we had gone down last year first quarter. This first quarter, despite, you know, seasonally being slow, we had a good momentum. And we continue to build on that momentum in July and August as well, both from a customer perspective and from a tonnage perspective as well.
Mm-hmm. And just one clarification, when you report LTV as of June end at 65.6 and as of March at 57.3, this June LTV will also have, you know, LTV defined as per the RBI's new regulation? Or is it like-to-like comparable? It's not including interest.
No, so it is, so to some extent, you know, it will include interest, but in terms of, you know, largely the LTV movement that you see from 57 to 64 is driven by the price of gold. So you see that, you know, the price of gold has dropped by about 8.5%. Consequently, you know, you see a similar movement on the LTV side. So it's more of a denominator effect, I would say.
So there is no numerator change, you are saying, numerator computation change.
No.
It's not there. Yeah. Okay.
No.
Okay, got it. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Yeah.
The next question comes from the line of Piran with CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Kim.
Hello, Piran, you're not audible. Can you please speak a bit louder?
Okay, is it audible now?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. No, so just going back on the earlier question, where can LTV settle assuming gold prices are stable here?
So on an average, this will be like 64, 65, even 66 level only, like March end. 57 came mainly because of the price only. 14,161 was the price. Now, 30 June, that price is at 12,954. That is why this is coming at 66%. But normally, in this level, if it is continuing, 64 to 67 is the average LTV range in the normal scenario.
Understood. So, LTV should be range bound out here.
The average this range will be there. If price increase there, because this is on the last day price we are calculating according to the calculation. That is what is everywhere following that. Last day's price.
Understood. Just secondly, we are seeing a lot of competition, you know, on the ground in gold loans. But you all have done pretty well. Just wanted to understand conceptually if competitive intensity remains strong or even rises. What would you prefer, holding on to margins or sacrificing margins but pushing growth?
See, we will maintain a balance. So, currently our pricing is one of the lowest range in the NBFC industry. So, with the market, we cannot be totally away from the market. So we have to move according to the markets, but I hope we'll be reasonably balanced in that.
Okay. And lastly, just a question for Bindu, if she's there. This net loss on derecognition of financial instruments of 30 crores, just can you explain what exactly that is? Is that a write-off?
Yes, it's a write-off. We can get back on more specifics on that.
Okay, it's a loan write-off, basically.
Yeah.
Understood. Okay, yeah, that's it from my end. Thanks and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Prithviraj Patil with Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I just had one question of the new guidelines that RBI has given, the draft guidelines about revolver facility. So I just wanted to know, is there any such facility in our online gold which we do
have? Can you repeat the question? Yes.
Yeah. So there's a new draft guidelines on the revolving facility. So I just wanted to know if there's any such facility on the online gold portfolio that you have.
So online gold loan doesn't come under the overdraft. It's a normal loan only. It has been vetted in the regular inspections.
Okay, so how does the functioning of this loan work? Once the principal is run down, we give the customer a proper loan.
When the principal is run down, he has the facility, if the LTV permits, he has the facility in the online gold loan to re-pledge that at the LTV he wants within the range permissible. That's all.
Thanks.
It is not an overdraft. He has the facility to replace at the prevailing LTV. Within that prevailing LTV, he has the option.
Good. Thank you.
Mr. Prithviraj, is that answer your question?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next question comes from the line of Bhaskar Basu with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. I had three questions. Firstly, on the LTVs again, how are the origination LTVs? And do you have any loans which are originated at around 85% LTV post the new norms?
So we are, first of all, I can say we are working within the regulations.
Yeah.
If construction loan is there, up to 2.5 lakhs, there is a regulation. Similarly, beyond that also, there are certain caps. The interest also is factored while calculating that.
But correct.
Let me say that. So for income-generating assets, we go up to 85%. This is the maximum, 85%. Then these are EMI products or EIA products. So here, even though we have the gold collateral with us, most trust is given for to assess his cash flow. These are all for the business people, yes, who will even otherwise qualifies for EMI products based on the cash flow, based on whatever securities the lender insists upon.
But that income generating product, actually, my understanding is there's no required LTV cap for that, right? I mean, you can.
Yeah, there is no, for the regulation, there is no LTV cap. But internally, we have fixed the cap to be 85% maximum. That's the maximum.
Got it. And what proportion of your book will be, say, originated at that 75 to 85% band? And what portion proportion would be the income generating loan in the book?
That data can be shared separately.
Yes. Yeah.
We have to take that data.
Okay. And any what would be your branch expansion plans for this year? Any acceleration expected?
Now, one good news for us is the requirement of prior approval from RBI has been removed. This facilitates the opening of the branches. So we have the plan to open around 500 branches now. We are in that stream now already progressing in that stream.
Sorry, 500 branches for this year?
Yeah, that is the plan. That is what is planned.
And would this all be in standalone or would this also include Ashirvad?
No, this is for Manappuram. For other businesses like Home Finance or MFI, they have their own plans.
No, I mean basically the gold loan branches. Gold loan branches.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
So Ashirvad gold loan branches expansion will be on top of this, or this is part of that 500 for the group?
Yeah, yeah. All these Manappuram Finance and Ashirvad or all these will come under this 500. Yeah, this is the plan.
Okay, got it. And on the cost of fund, sorry, please go.
Gold loan. Yeah, this is for gold loan. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, got it. And my last question is on the cost of fund. We've seen about 20 bits increase in standalone. Where do you see this settling? Does it go up further in the next quarter?
So, Bhuvnesh here. So in terms of cost of fund, you know, given the overall environment where we have seen, you know, spikes in terms of the rates in the shorter end, we've seen a spike in the rates, we've seen, you know, MIFOR also at, you know, all-time high levels. So despite that, you know, first quarter we've been able to manage, you know, from a cost of fund perspective, we've been able to keep it fairly under control. We continue to monitor and see in terms of, you know, opportunities that will arise in future and we'll work on that. It's very difficult to, you know, put a number or in terms of where this will settle in. But having seen that, you know, these are elevated currently, we could expect, you know, some of this coming into our cost of fund as well. But it's very difficult to you know, predict where this will be.
Okay, but some sense on where your marginal funding cost is versus the average of about 8.8 incremental basis.
On an incremental basis, I would say you know, we will be around the 8.89 handle is what I would look at.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kushan Parekh with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. My first set of questions is on the gold loans piece. Going forward, I mean, we have the branch addition plan for gold loans. But gold prices have been pretty muted in this year. Keeping that in mind, what is the gold loan growth guidance that you would like to give for FY27? And also on the yields. So we have seen yields declining consistently, but this quarter they have come back up. What is the steady state gold loan yields that we should think about going forward? From here on. Those are my two questions on the gold loan.
We expect the yield to be somewhere around 18%. May go down by 25 basis points or go up by 25 basis points. Beyond that, we don't expect anything. So it will be around 18%. And the branch expansion plan and price remains stagnant. That is the price is not a factor which is determining branch expansion. Branch expansion, the scope is there because there are many places where we are not represented and we have potential workload. Those places are selected, identified and selected for branch office.
Understood, sir, but what is the gold loan growth guidance that you would like to give for FY27?
We have grown around 12%, nearly 12% at Q1. We expect, our expectation for growth of gold loan this year is some around 30%. Because some quarters are the season, some quarters are off season. So we expect that to be somewhere between 25% to 30%.
Understood, sir. Thanks, sir. Just one more question on the non-gold businesses. The vehicle finance, MSME and home loan businesses have been in a growth moderation phase for a few quarters now. When should we expect them to turn towards growth, and what are our plans for those segments?
So we have temporarily stopped the vehicle lending, vehicle finance, and we are focusing on collection. So our collections are improving because the improved focus, etc. The other businesses like mortgage, mortgage-based loans, etc. Yes, it has started picking up, and the asset quality is the more focus. Microfinance also, our focus is on the quality. Yes, we are complying with the SRO norms, etc. And the growth will remain at a level of, I feel like 400 to 500 crores dispersal in my MFI.
Understood. Thank you, sir. Just one last data keeping question. If you could provide the gold loans by ticket size, that would be helpful. Yeah, I'll just stop.
Up to 1 lakh, it is 21%. 1 to 3 lakh, it is 30%. Above 3 lakh, it is 49%.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Gaurav with Capital Farming Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I have questions on one on the gold loan segment and another one on the microfinance. On the gold loan, if I heard correctly, we are expecting to open 500 new branches during FY27. Is that the correct statement?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so whenever just going through the presentation, I noticed that I think in Q1 we have added 10 branches, if I'm not wrong. So considering that 10 branches in Q1, is the remaining 490 branches across three quarters, is it officially feasible or am I reading something wrong?
The circular has come. After the circular removing the prior approval requirement, we initiated the process. So then during the initial months, it will be low, but it will pick up. It is steadily picking up. You will see a good improvement during the second quarter. And we are confident of reaching that target of 500 branches, full-on branches.
Okay, that's great. So 500 branches is a feasible number, fresh branches. That's great. On the microfinance side, when we look at the quarter-on-quarter numbers, right, Q4 of FY26 versus Q1 of FY27, I hope I'm audible, right?
Yeah, audible.
So it seems that again losses and provisions have increased, right? In Q1 of FY27 versus Q4 of FY26. So any specific reason why again the provisions have increased in microfinance, or I would say Ashirvad microfinance?
So Bhuvnesh here. So in Q4 there were one-timers in terms of releases. I think Q1 is more representative of a normalized provision cycle. So this would be, where the provisions are. Q4 had a one-timer. Obviously, it was in single digits. I think 9 crores or something. There were some one-off credits that we had, which is why the Q1 is a more normalized number that you see.
That's great. And within microfinance, or I would say Ashirvad, cost of borrowing seems to be on a little bit on a higher side vis-a-vis the cost of borrowing that we have in my Manappuram as a standalone entity. And now considering that the kind of loan book, or I would say the asset side that we have, that is drastically changed. Now we have almost 30% plus in the gold loan in Ashirvad Microfinance, right? So, is there any opportunity that we can further negotiate with our lenders, or there is a scope of reduction in cost of borrowing considering our lending profile in Ashirvad now onwards?
Yeah, certainly there is a window of opportunity, and you rightly pointed out when you have over 30% of our book in the secured gold loan, it gives us definitely an opportunity to go back to our lenders and negotiate prices for a better cost of borrowing, which we are actively in place.
Right. If you allow me one more question, in presentation you have mentioned that in Q1 you have started lending in Manappuram Housing Finance also, right? So is it a pure play, like it will be sitting on the books of Manappuram Housing Finance, or it is again kind of a co-lending model like you have between Manappuram Finance and Ashirvad Microfinance? And what would be the target of having the gold loan book in Manappuram Housing Finance going forward?
So it will be certainly be within the limit of qualifying assets. Yeah, qualifying asset will always be maintained.
Now, will it be kind of a co-lending model, or you will be underwriting on the books of Manappuram Housing Finance only?
Yeah, we will resort to co-lending model also, not only with the parent company, with the banks also. We approached the banks also in Manappuram Home Finance also for co-lending with the banks.
Thanks, Anita. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Anuj Jain with ValueQuest Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have one question, that what is the new management's long-term strategy with respect to microfinance business? Do we intend to grow its share of the portfolio like it was a few years earlier, or to maintain at the current levels, or do we have any strategy or any thinking to reduce the exposure going forward? So what is the long-term strategy for microfinance business?
I will tell at the group level, we want to contain microfinance at below 10% at the consolidated level. And we want to grow that along with the overall growth, but it is a stable manner where the asset quality is the prime concern. So we stick to the asset quality. And we always wanted to have a prudent growth in the MFI portfolio.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Anshuman Deb with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. So I have two questions. One is on the branch opening. So I think, this is in the past we have seen branches has been one of the big levers of volume growth. So with 500 branches, if you can share some color on in terms of where these branches will open and any view on branches opening possibility in the next 1-2 years, that will be the first question. The second is on the strategic priority, which was set like 2-3 quarters back. If you can give us any progress that has been done till now, I'm sure there would have been lots of work which has done, but some discussion around that would be very helpful. Thank you.
So, the branch opening, we have assessed whether the growth possibility is higher. So,
I can say yes, around 60% will be in South and Central India. That is 5 states of South India plus Maharashtra. And some 25% would be in eastern states like Bihar, West Bengal, Orissa, etc., where we have seen good potential, and the balance in the rest of India.
And sir, on anything beyond that 500, is it a 1-2 year thing? You expect more branches to continue to open?
Yeah. So our present target is around 500 branches, and after that we'll examine and proceed.
Thanks. And on the second question?
What was your second question?
Yeah, so my question was on the strategic priorities. I think we set some priorities. You already mentioned that one of MFI business being less than 10%. That was one of the things.
Yeah. I am very happy to say that our focus will be more on gold loan. So we want to maintain over 75 to 80% of the consolidated AUM in gold, and the balance would be our prime thrust would be secured lending like the mortgage based MSME lending plus affordable housing. We are not giving any priority during this year. So we don't want to disperse any more vehicle loans during this year. After 1 year, probably in FY 2028, etc., we may consider whether to restart or not. So as I said, the microfinance will be contained between 8 to 10%. That will be the cap on a consolidated basis we will put.
And sir, on the like OPEX, you know, efficiency, you also had some, I think, digitalization OPEX. We expect like some efficiency on those front.
Surely, because our AUM per branch is growing. It has grown considerably high. So you can see the OPEX also, OPEX to AUM is also steadily coming down. We hope to improve that going forward.
Great, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll get back in the
queue. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pradeep Agarwal with 361 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So I have a couple of questions. One, as we have seen, the gold loan market has evolved manifold over the last 4 or 5 years. Have you seen any change or drastic change in the customer profile? So like earlier, you used to comment that about 1/3 business used to come from for emergency use, 1/3 for agri and 1/3 for business. So are you seeing any change in that end use proportion? Because, you know, what we have seen is the proportion of higher ticket size customers have increased significantly, not only for us, but for the industry as a whole. So first question on that. Yeah.
Earlier, this was seen as a distressed product. Now, with the publicity given by all institutions, including banks, more and more business people, particularly MSME, they are availing the loan. And the government's intention and also regulators' intention is to encourage MSME lending using gold as collateral. Because otherwise, the gold is lying idle with them in their lockers, etc. To bring that idle gold into the MSME funding is the priority of the policymakers. So, based on this encouragement, that's why RBI has gone little liberal in permitting the gold loan companies to open more branches without any prior approval, which was the case earlier, etc. and also promoting income generating gold loan, which where there is no LTV, even though we have capped at 85% based on cash flow, et cetera, et cetera. So all these initiatives are from the regulator, from the regulators. Yes.
So
slowly, slowly it is more the profile of the customer is moving to the business class.
So does that mean that, you know, with about 49% of the proportion into more than 3 lakh ticket size, so what would be the yield difference between, say, in that segment, say above 3 lakh ticket size customers and say in 1 to 3 lakh ticket size? Because I'm assuming that, you know, this higher 3 lakh plus ticket size would be largely business use, right?
So the mix remained more or less the same. Okay, but consider the mix only, we expect the yield to be around 18%.
Okay.
We know the trend. Yeah, we have the mix also. So with the evolving mix also, yeah, this is the expectation of, yeah, at least during the next 1 year.
Secondly, you know, as the competition has increased manifold, are we facing any challenges on the employee side? Has the attrition increased, or how that has moved over the last, say, 2-3 years? Some color on that.
So we don't face sir, any, we have not faced any challenge in the recent times. Actually, the attrition has come down, you know, because many policy changes we made, et cetera, the attrition has actually come down. So we have not seen any attrition at the top level, who are handling gold loans.
Okay, any number you would like to give at the branch level, you know, what would be the attrition?
Usually, our attrition level remained around 2-2.5% per month. Yeah, and it is not crossing even now.
Okay. Okay, and lastly, you know, any guidance you would like to give, you know, in terms of ROA and ROE, where do you see, you know, once our business stabilizes in terms of, since on the yield side, it has largely stabilized, so where do you see your ROA, ROE stabilizing, say, over the course of next few years?
So we are targeting an ROA of around 3.5% to 4%, and targeting an ROE of 15 to 18%. This is the ROE target.
Okay. And any time frame you would like to give, you know, how, by when you would?
Yeah, we expect the ROAs and ROEs to consistently improve. And in 3 years, our expectation is to take that to ROE to around 18%.
Okay. Good to hear that, yeah. That is from my side. Thank you so much, and best of luck for the next quarter.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shreepal Doshi with Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity again. So I just had a question that what is the yield differential at blended level for income generating loans and for the consumer gold loan?
The income generating.
Like ticket wise, 50-75 basis points higher in income generating loan.
Okay. So it's higher versus the consumer loan, right? Or the income generating loan, 50-75 basis points.
Yeah.
And then as a thought process, like what percentage of our portfolio would we want to have this coming from income generating loan as a segment that's in the next 1 year time period, as that is the newer segment which is scaling up?
So all depends on the comfort we are getting. We are continuously watching this portfolio. So yeah, now whatever we have given, the experience is very good. So in spite of that, we have not gone beyond 88%. Even though we have seen some lending institutions lending even more than that. We have restricted to that. So the LTV there also ranges from 75-85 based on the assessment of the party and the cash flow. It's creditworthiness, everything. Just like any other loan, which are granted based on the cash flow.
Okay, but sir, as a port, so okay, we don't have any clear thought process as yet on in terms of the mix.
Yeah, because these products have just started, so we are continuously watching. Our experience remains very good. We are not strictly fixed anything. So because the portfolio is still very small compared to the overall portfolio.
Got it. Okay, sir. Thank you so much for answering your question, sir. Good luck.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sanket Chheda with DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats on good set of numbers. I just wanted to check on the new CEO. If you can elaborate on which all segments he has looked after in his last 10 to 15 years or the 10 years of stint at IDFC Bank. We have just written legal liabilities, but what we found common or suitable experience in the candidate that could really help us. So just wanted to get a sense on which all segments he has looked after in his previous stints.
He has wide experience, 25 years with multiple lending institutions. He has both worked on the liability side as well as the retail lending side. Experience is good. He has worked in Fullerton India as in the NBFC. He has worked in the other NBFCs and banks. His experience in retail lending is good.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now have the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you so much. You have asked many relevant questions. We try to research the data we have. And those who wanted more details, we can remain in touch with us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Manappuram Finance and Motilal Oswal, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.